Good afternoon. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. Thank you for tuning in to this dance space. We are welcoming you into the house for today's CIUT Sound of Your City Fall Fundraising Drive. It is day three of the campaign, friends, and we want to take this opportunity to thank all of you out there for showing us the love via your calls, emails, and kind donations, and of course, for tuning in each week to spend time with us. I consider it a great, great blessing to step onto this platform every week to engage in meaningful conversations with each of you. Now, if this is your first time tuning in to the show, Turnout Radio has been broadcasting on CIUT 89.5 FM since 2016. And year-round, we are celebrating dance, exploring and sharing the rich histories, stories, and critical conversations that live both on and beyond the stage. It is our audience members, guests, and collaborators who power this show forward. And we're grateful for the heart that you pour into our show. And listen, speaking of heart, I want to acknowledge the mighty extended team who work to air this show each week. Turnout Radio Assistant Production Manager and Editor Amber Downey-Back, Editor Brittany Baugh, Social Media Manager Casey Spector, and the entire CIUT staff, I thank you for the seeds that you sow into this beautiful engine. I've got love for you. Folks, this is our fundraising drive episode. And as we continue this journey together, we invite you to join our family of supporters by calling in today to 416-946-7800 or toll free to 1-888-204-8976. Or visit www.ciut.fm to share your kind donation of any amount. These offerings assist Turnout Radio and CIUT to continue and build upon our programming work and our passionate service to the communities that we serve across the world. It's time now to welcome our guest to the program. Coming up on today's show, my guest has been known to say that creation work is sacred work. Join me on the show, multidisciplinary artist Blessel Juan is in the house. So stay tuned and stay locked in right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back with Blessel Juan.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. My guest today, Bless LeBuan, is a multidisciplinary artist whose work spans contemporary dance, choreography, painting, fiber, and jewelry arts via Buan Kissed. She also has a deep-rooted academic background, holding degrees in kinesiology and chiropractic medicine, all which bring a profound understanding of the human body into her artistic practice. Blessold's creative journey is heavily influenced by Philippine indigenous traditions. She elevates the personal process of reclaiming agency and healing from the multi-generational impacts of colonization and cultural erasure. Blessold's interest in neo-ethnic dance, which she views as a form of activism, has taken her practice beyond traditional stages, extending into performance art, interactive installations, and videos. Now, most recently, she was artist in residence at the Clark Center for the Arts and the lead artist of Weaving Futures as part of the Artists in the Library program by Toronto Arts Council and Toronto Public Library. Her solo entitled Rara was transformed from short film to live performance with the support of the Ontario Arts Council. It is my great pleasure to welcome back to the show, Bless LeBuan. Bless, welcome back to Turnout Radio. So great to have you back in the house with us. How are you doing?
Thank you so much, Nicole, for bringing me back to Turnout Radio. It's such a pleasure.
It's been some time since we've had an opportunity to sit down together on the show. You, Bless LeBuan, have contributed in countless ways as a guest host. I want to take an opportunity to thank you, for being a part of our family for as long as you have been.
Yeah, thank you so much, Nicole, and the Turnout Radio family for, you know, inviting me onto this platform, you know, in the beginning to help with the health of dancers and moving creatives in the audience, and then now being able to speak about my own artistic practice moving forward. So I'm really grateful to continue with collaborating with Turnout Radio.
And we look forward to that continued journey as well. Bless, I was thinking back to the last time that you had been on the show. And at that time, we were going through the initial stages of the pandemic. And so since that time that you have been on the show, how have you been doing? How's Blessel?
Yeah, since the pandemic, which was, gosh, we were re-emerging in 2021. And probably the dance world hasn't really had normalcy, like full-blown normalcy, until 2023. So I think we've only had one full year of performances without the social distancing and all that stuff. Yeah, it has been a journey of recalibrating my energy. I think all of us have been recalibrating, going from a place of forced incubation and self-reflection, moving forward on what is sustainable for those who are service workers, heart-centered service workers. And, you know, also as being a mom and taking care of four children who were forced to do virtual school and all of those things that I think most people don't talk about, especially in the arts, the background investment of energy, of family, that can impact one's ability to do public-facing work. So, yeah, I think I've just been reflecting on that and then practicing it with my own pace on what is better suited and aligned where I'm at right now.
In that space of reflection, Blessa, what have you discovered about yourself? I know that prior to the interview, we had an interesting conversation in which you were talking about the mitigating of energy. What have you discovered in the reflection space?
Yes, I've had to really experience my own body's reckoning with the fact that I didn't have good boundaries or even self-awareness or even, I mean, I can't fully blame myself because it wasn't modeled for me, just in our culture and family histories, that if you're going to create anything, whether it's humans or like art or an idea, or if you're going to be helping people facilitate their own healing, physical healing. Like for me, I was a body worker through chiropractic, and I was also teaching. There has to be recovery. We cannot always be forward facing. And it was only in the last, around 2013 was when social media was, I started to use social media as a tool, as a platform for creating awareness for the work that I do. But it was no way back then. It was a very casual thing. It's not like how one must constantly publish content in order to maintain an audience. So when you layer that from the generation that I am and the age that I am now, like putting all those things all in the air at once is just not realistic for creating and nurturing high caliber work. And that is something that, you know, one must have integrity if you are driving your body to the ground for the sake of output. You're not serving anybody, you know? So that's where I must really work from that awareness of making sure that I don't burn out and take myself out for 3 years.
As you've been on this journey and in this space of reflection, have there been any new considerations for you about ways to activate self-care in different ways that maybe you didn't consider before?
Yeah, I realize now that it's a non-negotiable that I need to have an art practice, because the art practice soothes my nervous system. And actually, I actually put down my art practice, like my visual art practice, at the age of 19 when I went into university to study kinesiology. And then dance was at the forefront. So, you know, we always have phases. And then even when I was having my children, I was still dancing. So, but I wasn't using my hands in the same way. Like there's something about using your hands that can create a flow state. And my hands were used for chiropractic and holding my babies. And so a lot of times after a shift to chiropractic, my hands are literally dead, like so tired because of all the body work that I do. But what I realize now is like, I really have to be one with the paint, like the tactile element. And even with my art practice, because I use natural fiber, I use seashells, and then I'll even dance with them. It creates and unlocks a channel where I co-create with ancestral memories, which that is something that was kind of always there since I was a child. I just didn't have an elder to help me kind of hone that in. And from 2021, there was a period where I was incredibly unwell and I was just literally resting. Like I had no energy for anything. Even to walk, I had no energy. And I was always, people would say, Blissel, you're so high octane, you have a lot of energy. And I always felt like I didn't have enough because I just had too much to give, I think. So I felt like I was falling short, especially as a mom with very young children and having babies back then. Like I was building my family, like all of my 30s. So yeah, now in my 40s, it's a non-negotiable. Like the recovery mode is me actually either painting or making jewelry or whatever it is. Like I need to use my hands in those ways. Yeah. So that's new. And like, that's literally like, if I neglect that, it's not good. Yeah.
The non-negotiable resonates with me, Blissel, because I'm considering just how much that way of being for myself has allowed for a greater sense of rest and a greater sense and a greater opportunity for me to connect with myself and my journey What does that look like for you as you have explored that non-negotiable?
Yeah, I mean, the reason why it's non-negotiable is because my body goes into these incredible freeze states where I lose a lot of function cognitively and physically. So mentally and physically, I become almost paralyzed. So I need to create. Even during those freeze state moments, my best paintings are when I'm almost incapacitated, where I am literally slow. It's almost like this, and I mean, it's been persistent. I think it's been there since I was a teen. It's just that when you're younger, you can distract yourself and keep yourself busy. Whereas now, this force of deep rest, it takes me out. And when you have children, that really cannot, I can't just languish in the isolation of my home and wait it out. The kids still need me to do things. And so that's why it's a non-negotiable, that I had to really change my whole entire lifestyle. And then also my tolerance of being front-facing and being a problem solver for individuals is less. So I need to incubate. I need to have periods of incubation where I'm not social. And then I'm front face, and that means either I'm performing or I'm teaching or doing, you know, work like this where we're collaborating, and then I disappear. And some of that incubation is recovery. And I just need to give some time for integration. You know, it's interesting, before I would just, my ideas, I'd shoot projects out, project, but I wouldn't do much harvesting. So when I think about more of the farmer, where you seed an idea and it you might not understand where it's going yet because it needs some time to incubate and germinate, you know. Then you have conversations with people and then you workshop it and then there's a whole process. I'm much more process driven. And then you create one experiment / performance or whatever it is, and then you reiterate it, and then it creates these layers of depth and clarity. Even the way I could speak about a project has to take many iterations for it to make sense to me, you know. So yeah, it's very, very different. It's very different from the science world where my educational background is. It's what is the evidence? What are you doing? What is the solution? What is the result? You know. With an art practice, it's like, I don't necessarily know what direction I'm going. Like you do and you don't. Like you don't want to fully define the end result, because then you are losing out on a lot of juicy downloads or realizations throughout the way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I find there's a freedom in that.
There is a freedom. And I think it's also very important to consider, because when people say, bless a little, but you know, you were practicing and, you know, there's a lot of grief in that. And, you know, my health actually truly took me out. But at the same time, I also am someone, as a dancer, is incredibly embodied. So the body was disagreeing where I was investing my time. And I really had to make a decision, even reluctantly. But, you know, if I think back, that was really the path for me, the artistic path. But things have changed, you know, curation has changed. So the work that I'm actually doing, which I think is very radical, there is opportunities to share it now, where if I was 22, coming up with some of the concepts that I am now working with, I don't believe that the art schools and the dance schools would give that a chance at that time. Right?
Why do you think that is?
I think social media has really opened the doors for, like, I mean, there are, for this particular thing of having a critical lens.
Right.
Right? A lens that will challenge the status quo of institutional curation, of lesson planning, of who is in the front, who is representation, right? You know, before social media, you know, we take things at face value. And then you have the gatekeeping and elitism of higher learning and all that stuff. And then, you know, there is a programming of if you can only see a certain population excelling in certain types of jobs, you know, even for me to be a chiropractor as a Filipina is radical. My parents are like, what? You know, for me, I really, truly just wanted to help dancers. It made sense, you know. But at the same time, in my 20s, like, you know, while I was studying chiropractic, I had an agent and I would write my exams and study while I was on set. Like, it's such a bizarre thing. Like, I was really rebelling. I was rebelling it the whole time, you know. But I feel like social media, if you use it for a certain purpose, which is to build your community and to be have access to different points of view, it can help you build that community. It can help you find a platform and, you know, find those accounts and those leaders who are thinking similarly. It, you know, social media for a lot of people is vanity and memes, but it doesn't have to be. And so I oftentimes wish I had that. But pounding the pavement and learning people skills and having that grit and, you know, I can navigate closed doors. Oh, you got to close the door? Well, I'm going to go find another door. Oh, okay. Well, then I'm going to create it myself. We didn't have the YouTube influencers and all that stuff. So that at least I can say I've developed. While this is still not perfect, but so I feel like the timing is perfect.
If you are just tuning in, you're listening to Turnout Radio, broadcasting during the CIUT 89.5 FM, Sound of Your City Fall Fundraising Drive. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton, sitting down with Blessel Buon, and we have more of our conversation coming up. But in the meantime, we want to thank you for tuning in and joining us on the FM dial this afternoon. The station is filled with the rhythm and the heart of the people this week as we join together with all of you out there in celebration of CIUT Radio. If you've not had an opportunity to connect with us today, folks, during the drive, we look forward to welcoming you and inviting you to share your continued love with a kind donation of any amount, which helps to support the work of Turnout Radio and CIUT programming. Our phone line operators are looking forward to speaking with you. Call us now at 416-946-7800 or toll free at 1-888-204-8976, or you can make your one-time or monthly donation online at www.ciut.fm. Now, CIUT is a not-for-profit charity bringing you rich, diverse stories, local and global news, and of course, the sound of your city 24/7. We couldn't do this work without you. And so we welcome you to connect with us by calling today. Those numbers, again, are 416-946-7800 or 1-888-204-8976. And when calling this hour, ask for me if I'm near the phone lines. I'd love to say hello and thank you personally for being on this journey with us. We have more with multidisciplinary artist Blessel Buon coming up after this. Blessel, I'd like to revisit the sacred space and also the channel that you mentioned, with regards to ancestral memory. I mentioned at the top of the show that you have shared that creation work is sacred work. So talk to me about those intersections between that sacred work and the ancestral memory that you speak of.
Yeah, having taken art classes as a teen and also being, you know, mentored by my dad, like I'm a second generation artist, first generation dancer. You know, keeping something sacred is also not talking about it. You know, to allow yourself to create for the joy of creating. I gave myself that like 2 years of that. Like just create to create, and then also to be able to create without the identity of being a creator. You know, that's hard, like especially for dancers, you know, it's really challenging, you know, even for me, even in my 40s now, I've been dancing since I was 4 years old and, you know, kind of unpacking all of that dance trauma of what is dance, number one. What does a dance practice look like? Do you really need to be in the studio all the time? Like, does it have to look like somebody else's practice? No, it doesn't. So that's number one, is like redefining that whatever your process is literally genuinely yours. Nobody can, don't even ask for opinions. Don't even say, you know, you even hear from other people, oh, well, I'm just like, I just paint for fun. And oftentimes when I hear that, it's like, fantastic, you're painting. Yeah. You know, why do we have to put all these disclaimers, right? And then also when it comes to ancestral memory, a very interesting thing that happened was I first started creating my jewelry line Buon Kiss by playing with Capiz shells, which is a windowpane oyster. And then I started learning how to do the mountain tribe tattooing on shells. And then I started playing with raffia, these long strands of raffia. And one day I said to my husband, let's just go out and shoot a video. And I don't know, I'll just dance with them. And that turned into the first film, Rara, which means to weave, a straw mat, a banig, which I eventually found out I come from a lineage of weavers that work with the dried palm. Now, it took me like over a year, and then I started teaching in residencies at the School of Toronto Dance Theatre, which is now known as Dance Arts Institute, and then at Toronto Dance Theatre through their residencies, teaching a process about dancing, this pre-colonial script called Babayan, and using this raffia. It's right here. It's like this raffia here. It makes sound. It has a smell and everything. And then somebody, you know, a mentor of mine from Parangal Dance, Eric, he is in San Francisco. He said, be very careful when you dance with those things. And I said, yeah, I know. I started channeling. You get into this flow state that you start actually, it's almost like if you took ingested something, you know, people go and they do these shamanic experiences and you start going somewhere else. When I dance with those, I have to be very conscious to snap back to reality. And then I found out that there is a tribe called the Tagbanwa tribe in the island of Palawan that actually does this work. I didn't know that. So this was something that I didn't have any visual reference to. It was literally an intuitive, I don't know. I was drawn to the material intuitively and then learned about the indigenous practices in the Philippines after. So that my process is one of remembering and then having conversations by those who have been to the Philippines and actually worked with these specific tribes. Because as far as folk dancing goes, it is not one of the mainstream ones that, you know, that have been adapted to be on stage. So my process, even as a Filipino artist, is very different from other Filipino artists. Yeah, there's this concept called kapwa in the Philippines, where you co-create between people, nature, and the cosmos. So the way I create is through kapwa, And that has been a big part of even my spiritual practice as I move ahead.
What has been your experience with how ancestral memory has informed your artistic practice?
Knowing my lineage is in the Philippines, well, the small amount that I know, being like of a land-based people, when one is living on the land, you see patterns where people don't see patterns. So what people will say, you're neurodivergent, a lot of times that is the type of brain that would work really well in surviving in the environment, because you're reading the stars, you are looking at the moon's position of when to harvest, and then you have a lot more sustainability in the way you respect the land, how you add to the land and extract from the land, taking only what you need, understanding that there are seasons for harvest and seasons for incubation, and then that way you have more patience. And then when you live that way, you also require a community that lives in reciprocity with each other, with the land. And then also there is a spiritual practice in the cosmos, because when you, for example, you know, in the Philippines and in a lot of places around the world, before the Spanish came, and it's still practiced in the Philippines in the rural places and within the tribal practices, is that they believe that there's a spirit in every living thing. And because of that spirituality and animistic spirituality, then there is this communication and asking of permission before taking. And there's always a gratitude practice. And one can say that that's superstition. But what I can find in my own art practice is that when I do create and speak and thank the raffia after dancing with it, you know, thanking the shells, you know, even I give a portion of any sales I make back to the Philippines, to the weavers, because they are the culture bearers that are dying out. Languages are dying because they don't get paid well. So the kids want to leave and go to school and go to the city and or leave the country. And like, you know, like my parents have left the Philippines and made sure that we are all educated and we didn't learn the language. But somehow through at least me, it's coming back really strongly that these cultural things, cultural knowledge will look different than how it would be performed if I was in the Philippines and that there was no disruption or erasure. My expression is uniquely diasporic. And I can see a through line too with the other cultures and artists that are investigating and reclaiming their cultures on their terms, informed by the fact that I grew up here in Toronto, informed by the fact that my community is multicultural, and that's where I thrive. And so naturally, what I pull into my process and my expressions is very different than if I had a homogenous community in the Philippines. So I think that's the thing. I think that's when we talk about creation is sacred and then being a bridge between the ancient and today, is it's important to recognize that they're all valid ways of expression. And now that I'm a mother of four children and two of my children are in art school, you know, both of them dance, but one's exploring visual arts and the other one's wants to dance professionally. Even the way they express is very, you know, commercial right now, but they see mommy doing the things that she does, and who knows.
Multidisciplinary artist Blessel Buon is sitting in with us for today's Turnout Radio broadcast during the fall fundraising drive. Stay tuned for more of our conversation coming up after this. Thank you. Turnout Radio is pleased to partner with Dance Immersion for today's giveaway during the CIUT Sound of Your City Fall Fundraising Drive. The phone lines are open for your opportunity to win one pair of tickets to attend the November 22nd showing of Black and Rural in Toronto. Created and performed by Shayna Jones and produced by Pi Theater, Black and Rural is an artistic inquiry into the hearts and minds of Black folks tucked away on Canada's countryside. Project lead Shayna Jones aims to seek out, honor, and showcase stories from rurally based Blacks like herself to nuance and challenge the monolith of what matters to Black lives. Presented by Dance Immersion and hosted by Tarragon Theatre, Black and Rural is on stage from November 20th straight through to the 22nd. You can learn more at danceimmersion.ca. That's danceimmersion.ca. Be the first person to call us now at 416-946-7800 or toll free at 1-888-204-8976 for your opportunity to win one pair of tickets again to the Friday, November 22nd showing. That's 416-946-7800 or toll free at 1-888-204-8976. Thank you for your calls and your kind donations that have been coming in during the fall fundraising drive. We appreciate you so greatly for being a part of our family of supporters. Since 1987, CIUT has been faithfully delivering community programming, offering unique and diverse content to our audience. And we look forward to continuing the journey with you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more shares from Blessel Juan. So it's been such an honor to share space with you again on today's broadcast. And I'd love to talk about now, before you leave us, what you are currently working on and what's coming up for you.
Thank you. So I'm currently wrapping up the Weaving Futures program for the Artists in the Library program through Toronto Arts Council and Toronto Public Library. So I did a community engagement with Dance, Paint, and Weave, and they have an exhibition where their works are up at Morningside Library in Scarborough until the end of the month. So go check it out if you can. They've worked really hard on it. And now I am currently in creation mode. I have a choreography commission, I'm happy to say, with the Art Gallery of Ontario to animate the exhibition of Pasita Abad, who I came to know her work last year. And my gosh, she's incredible. This is the legacy, a retrospective of her work. And so I'm choreographing a piece called Babae Lan, which babae means woman in Filipino. And it's a play on words of the word Babae Lan, which are the female priestesses of pre-colonial times that would co-create with nature and the cosmos to create balance. And I have the amazing opportunity to perform with Diana Reyes and Candace Kumar. And so I am in the studio creating choreography, and we'll be in rehearsals in December. So you'll see marketing on that coming up really soon.
Blessel, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the show today, especially for this special fundraising drive episode, because of all of the work that you have been doing in communities, and also because of the support that you have been showing and lending and sharing with Turnout Radio over the years. Such a pleasure to share space with you.
Likewise, and I'm really grateful again for Turnout Radio for giving a platform for me to share my artistic process and also to, you know, give resources in the past to the dancers so that they can continue to train in a healthful way. And thank you so much, Turnout Radio. Thank you.
Oh, thank you to you as well, Blessa, for the joy and the care and the love that you give us. So great to have you on, and I look forward to sharing space with you again soon.
Absolutely. We must plan that. Thank you. Today, you've been listening to the sounds of Cannonball Adderley with Autumn Leaves and John Coltrane with Blue Train. Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. That was Blessa Bwan, our featured guest on today's program. My gratitude to Blessa for joining me on the show. Now, Blessa's artistic practice is a vibrant celebration of cultural identity, joy, and interconnectedness, restoring and the modernizing of the disrupted lineages of her heritage into a powerful contemporary expression. If you missed the top of our interview, visit turnoutradio.com and CIUT.fm, where the episode will soon be streaming. Be sure to also check out her choreography commission at the Art Gallery of Ontario on January 10th. This is our CIUT fundraising drive episode, and folks, we thank you for your calls and emails that we've been receiving during the course of the drive. It's your kind of donations that support us in continuing this work that we do here at the station. CIUT is a not-for-profit charity and a standalone, unique radio station, which offers free and open format programming to our audience members with up to 80 distinct hosts. I've had the pleasure of being with the station for over 10 years, and it's right here where I began my career in broadcasting. Many thanks to the CIUT staff and volunteers and all of you out there for joining me and us on this journey. We welcome you to share your support for our show and CIUT Radio. We invite you to connect with a member of our phone room by calling 416-946-7800 or 1-888-204-8976. You can also donate online
online at ciut.fm. Now, when donating online, be sure to mention that you are supporting Turnout Radio. For donations of $89.50, the station is providing audience members with the opportunity to become a member of CIUT. For a donation of $120 or more, in addition to membership, the station is offering you a piece of CIUT history with a classic retro CIUT glow-in-the-dark t-shirt, which was originally created in 1989 and has now been brought back by popular request. And for a donation of $500 or more, CIUT is offering you the opportunity to host your own one-off two-hour music radio show. For those who do access this opportunity, you'll be guided and supported by a station staff member who will work with you to curate your two-hour show. The phone lines are open, and again, we invite you to call us now at 416-946-7800 or 1-888-204-8976. Thank you again for your continued support of our show and for tuning in to today's broadcast. Join us again next week for more of Turnout Radio right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance. Thank you.
Visit CIUT.FM and donate now.